filling in tonight for the Rosh Hashiva. Obviously, I'm not ready to be a Malam Mokum for the Rosh Hashiva. And the Rosh Hashiva asked me last week that since he's going to Chutzlartz and he's going to miss the Shir, he doesn't want guys to battle, so he gave me the opportunity that I should speak now. I told him that I don't know if I can come. I unfortunately have to have, tomorrow I have to have surgery on my vocal cords, so I told him that if I have to go in at night to the hospital, then I won't be able to be here. But if I am here, and I have to keep my mouth shut for 10 days to 14 days, not say a word, that's the gzera that I have starting from tomorrow. So if I can hop around and say a shir tonight, I'll be thrilled. And Baruch Hashem, that's the way it worked out. So I called up last night Rosh Hashiva, told him that I got the verdict that I have to come till tomorrow morning, so if you want to say a shir, I'll say a shir. I don't know what the Shiva, somebody told me, he usually says, I'm Chavis HaTalmidim. I'm not the one who gives Musa Shmuzim. Kshoit Atzim HaChavachikach, Kshoit Acherim. In English they say, preach what you know. Practice what you preach, right? I don't remember my English anymore altogether. So I'm not a Musa Shmuz giver. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about Purim and Alocha and Ashkofa. And if I'll be Zoichet to teach you things which you never heard before, then it's Haka Revach for you and for me. And let's first start off with the Etzem Inyan. What is the background of the whole Ness of Purim? Does that have a chumash here with a Megillah in it? Shmois, Vayikra? Oh, very good. Nice English chumash. There's a lot of interesting explanations as to... Oh, two standards. Fine. Good. Sorry. Okay. There's a lot of interesting explanations as to what happened over there in different circles. If you want... know what I would recommend, it's probably kedai to look at the Malbim. He has a very nice explanation on Sefer Megillah, very interesting. But I'm going to tell you a Hesber, which you probably never heard before. Something tells you Megillah's Esther, and this Chumash is in the bank. Yeah. Probably. That's Shir Shirim. Esther, there you go. So, it's a mikvah almost. Yeah. In any event, if you look in Megillas Esther, there's a very interesting pasuk over here in Perek Zion, where Achashverosh tells Esther, "Ma bakashaseich at chatzia malchus yinosan lach. What do you want from me? Say point blank, what do you want? Lay it on the table, lay out your cards." So what's she tell him? She tells him that nafshi b'sheilosi, what's the problem? So she says, where does it go? Whoop. This is where she's asking him to come. I said, I haven't looked at Megillah yet. Here we go. Here. She says, Nash b'shalosi amakashosi, kinim karnu aniva ami lahashmid laharigu la'abid. Myself, my parents, my family, we're being sold to be killed. Mamashmad. If we're just being sold as avodim and shvachas, we're going to be shvartzes for somebody in his house, we're going to clean the floors with the sponge. No, they wouldn't say anything. It's not worth saying anything. If that's what the king wants, we should make sponge. Say that, we'll be masking. But, they want to kill us. So what does Achashverosh answer? He says, who is this mechutzif who wanted to do something like that? So the Apt Rov, there's a sefer called Chesish, a sefer called Oiv Yisrael. There's a big poisek in Apt. There's some Chesish Svarim, which I assume people here never saw. But I know there was a Shiva give sometimes a Chesish Svarim, so maybe he's into this also. The Apt Rov in the back of the sefer is a very interesting pshat. First, he asks the question, what's going on over here? Esther was sent to be a shlich to save Klal Yisrael, that they shouldn't be annihilated, they shouldn't be killed out. So why is she going and offering this bargain? You know what? If you want to sell us to be shvartzes and make sponge on the floor, that will do. Why'd she stick that in? Why is she handling? Why is she making masu matan? She should say point blank, they want to kill us. You like me. I'm your best girlfriend, right? You want me to stay? Don't let them kill us out. They're going to kill us all of us. Then kill out your girlfriend too. Well, you can't let this happen. Why does she have to stick in? If you want to sell us, that'll be fine. Don't say anything. Just say, save us, and that's it. So it doesn't make sense if you're dealing in masu matan, you're dealing in business. They should offer something stupid like that. That, okay, if you don't want to kill us, just sell us and we'll be happy with that. Why'd you say it? And what's the response of Achashverosh? Also doesn't make any sense. Miuzev Ezehu, who's the Mechutzev, this terrible guy, who wrote this? What do you mean, who did it? If you learn the Megillah till there, and I haven't looked at it since last year. So Haman brought this proclamation to Achashverosh. and Achashverosh signed it. So what's the miyuzev ezehu? You know it was Haman. You know you signed it. What are you playing dumb? Are you stupid? I mean, there is one day in the Gemara, he was a tippish. If he was a tippish, he's a super tippish. He has a memory like, you know, like someone has Alzheimer's. He's an old man. If he's a chochem, that's the chochem. What's going on over here? So Apterov says a very interesting explanation, and it's taka original. He says he saw a ma'isa once with Rav Shrira Goyen. For those who don't know about the Goyenim, that was the period before the Rishonim. We have Rav Hai Goyen, we have a son Rav Shrira Goyen, way, way back. Mamash before the times of the Rambam and Rif and Rishonim, you had the Goyenim. In the times of Rav Shrira Goyen, there was a very interesting ma'isa. And this ma'isa is brought down in several swarm. There was a guy who was a tremendous gvir. He had a lot of money. And he also had, among his properties, he had a Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra. And he had two sons. And the two sons had no shortage of money. Kaspein and Kochol, they're full of money. Neither of them was interested in the money. He's going to die, he's in the Sirusha. We don't need the money. We have enough money. Each one wanted the Sefer Torah that was written by Ezra. That's something which is not just the financial value, but the value of a Sefer Torah that's written by Ezra Sefer himself thousands of years ago. They both wanted that Sefer Torah. They went to a Bezin. What are we going to do? Bezin Paskin, they should make a girl. The one that wins will get the Sefer Torah. The other guy gets all the money. And they agreed beside her. Made the girl. One of the brothers won the Sefer Torah. And they started using it. He was very excited that he got the Sefer Torah. And the other brother was disappointed. I need my father's money. I have plenty of money. I wanted the Sefer Torah. But listen, that's what they passed. And that's what the girl said. So that's what we'll do. After a few months, they found the murder thing. They were reading the Sefer Torah. And they saw there was a terrible mistake in the Sefer Torah. It's in Parshas Mishpatim, we just landed a few weeks ago, by Parshas Shvi. So it says, let's see if it's still here. It says over here in Parshas Shvi, Maftir, Shvi. Vavadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. If you will serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, you'll do what you're supposed to do. He will bless your bread, which means you'll have parnosa. Vesmeimecha, and your water and your bread, you'll have good food and you'll have a lot of parnosa. Vasiroisi machal mikirbecha. And the Baruch Hashem is promising not just he'll give you gashmis, a lot of food, but I will take away any sicknesses. No coronas, no anything. Everything is wiped out, right? Great bracha. But guess what? In Ezra Sefer's Sefer, which is so choshev, it didn't say vavadetem. Instead of the ayin, there was a terrible mistake. There was an aleph. Now, if it's an aleph, not only is it kill a pshat, it sounds terrible. It sounds much like a quote over here. The ibadetem es Hashem lekechem. If you destroy the Ribbono Shel Olam kilu, then you'll get a reward. They have pranos and macha. It's like a ridiculous mistake. How can you make such a mistake? And it's in the Sefer Torah, which is written by Ezra. And the guy thought, the one son who won the girl, and it's his. He thinks, Ribbono Shel Olam, we can fix the Sefer Torah. If you know the halacha is by tefillin and mezuzah, there's a psul shalei kesidron. That if it was written as a mistake, you can't do anything about it because everything's got written in exact order. Once there's a mistake, you can throw it into the Geniza, that's it. But by Sefer Torah, you can fix it. But the problem is, if we get a Sefer right now to fix the Sefer Torah, this one letter, you can't call it anymore Sefer Torah Shekosav Ezra. The whole Cheshivas was written by Ezra. It was written by Ezra with a mistake, nonetheless, and someone else is going to finish it. It's not any more unique than a Sefer Torah Shekosav Ezra. So he was very, very, Tzabrach, he was very broken by it. He didn't know what to do. At night, his father came to him in a dream, and his father told him, don't think that the Sefer Torah, which I had all these years, was a Sefer Torah with a mistake. You know what happened? There was a Komer. Komer was like a galach, a priest, that was in the neighborhood. He was terribly mad and terribly jealous. How could it be that two Jews, where they can inherit millions of dollars, each one, nobody wants the money. Everybody wants the Sefer, the Dor HaShem Kedusha. And the mamash bothered him. So what did he do? He went at night into the shul, and when no one was looking, he took out the Sefer Torah, and he's the one that changed the ayin, and he made it into an aleph. So now be mamash like words of kriya that if you destroy kilu d'rbayishem, then you'll get reward. He's the one that did it. And because he did it, he said, the father told his son in a dream, he says, in Shemayim, Bezen Shemala, they said that we have to send Ezra himself down from Shemayim to fix the Sefer Torah in order that it should remain Sefer Torah Shenichtav Adei Ezra. And not that there should be one letter written by a goy, by a galach, a priest over there. So therefore, Ezra's Sefer was sent down. And as a raya, that you should know that it's a real dream, because if anybody learns Daf Yomi, they just had right now, but dreams, when usually you have dreams, a lot of things are stupidities. You never know what's true, what's not. As a proof that this is for real, and it's not a fake dream, you'll see in the Beis Medrash, you'll see, first of all, you see the letter was fixed. And if you want to know for sure the story is true, that Ezra fixed it, Varaya, you look under the bima, and you're going to find eye. You're going to find an eye. The eye of the galach, of the priest, is going to be under the bima, because the Shemayim, they paskin also from Parshas Mishpatim, ayin tachas ayin. Since he erased an ayin from the Sefer Torah, his eye is going to be knocked out. And there was like a little marble, and they came in there on the floor, right? And they picked it up. And I suppose afterwards the galach was walking, the priest was going around with a patch over his eye, and didn't tell anybody what happened. But that was the Maisa Shehoya. The Aptarov said, after knowing this Maisa, I now understand what happened over here with Esther and with Achashverosh. Because originally, when Esther, when Haman went to Achashverosh, and he told him, I want you to make a proclamation with all the Jews, he didn't tell him he wants to destroy them. He said, La'abdem, Loshon Eved. He wanted them to be Avodim. Let's make them all our Shvartzes. They're going to clean our floors. They'll go clean the walls. They'll do the sponge. Let's make them Avodah. And Achashverosh was a very nice, merciful king. And a shtickle tippish also. He said, yeah, that's a great idea. And he signed on it. Afterwards, Haman went and he changed the letter from La'abdem and he made it La'abdem. Just like it happened over there then, Bashir going. So he changed the letter. So that's what Esther was telling him. He said, we were sold, we were sold mamish to annihilate us, ula abed with an aleph to destroy us. If we were only being sold to be avodim eshwachas and to mop your floors, echrashti. I understand, that's what you agreed to, King Achashverosh. You were very merciful, very kind of you, that you wanted us all to be your servants. But okay, I wouldn't have said anything. But, lemaisa, we're being sold right now to be killed, and that's not what you wanted. And then Achashverosh thought, wow, what a mechutzav. I never signed to something like that. I'm the merciful king. All I said was they should all be my servants, but to kill them, I wouldn't think of something like that. So he said, Miuzeh ve'ezahu ashamo libelasas came to forge my proclamation. And that's the maisa. That was the masumatan, the holy chiyelich that went between Esther and Achashverosh. So that's a very interesting way of understanding the Nes of Purim. And as I said, there are a lot of other explanations. Let's go through a few of the dinim, which are Negeim Purim. And maybe these are things you already know, maybe you don't know. Let's first talk about Tainis Esther. Now, Tainis Esther comes out on Monday. In the rest of the world, including the rest of Eretz Yisrael, so Monday, Tainis Esther, is the day preceding Purim, because Purim is Monday night. Here in Yerushalayim, it's not like that. Here in Yerushalayim, Purim is only Wednesday night, because we're Ir Mukav Chaima, and therefore, all the other cities that we have today are only Sveikas. Tveri and Chavin, these are all Sveikas. Yerushalayim is definitely considered Ir Mukav Chaima, and we have it on Wednesday. But in all the rest of the world, Tainis Esther is the day which precedes, which comes before Purim. Now, the interesting thing is, it's brought down B'Shem the Rizal, Chaim Vital brings down, that the Rizal said Yom Kippurim, that there's a connection between Yom Kippur and Purim. What's the connection? Yom Kippur is a very serious day. We fast, we mamash torture ourselves, Inui, five Inuim. When it comes to Purim, on the contrary, we're all excited, some guys get drunk, they're all happy, they're eating, they're drinking. What's the connection? So the Chiddush said a very interesting connection. The connection is because on Yom Kippur, the Gemara says in Tainis Daf Yud, that the Torah says if somebody is going to eat on the ninth day, Yom Kippur is on the 10th day of Tishrei, if somebody eats on the ninth day, it's Malol of a Kosov, if the Torah considers it, Ki'ilu Tzom, as if he's fasting both days. What does that mean? When a person fasts, his mom is doing tshuva. But if a person on the ninth day of Tishrei goes and eats in order that he should be able to facilitate the fasting on Yom Kippur, he's going to get schar for 2 days, because the whole purpose that he's eating is in order they should be able to mekayim Yom Kippur kedasu kedin. So the Chiddush says that's what the Rizal meant also. Purim is the other way around. Purim is a day of festivity. Everybody eat, drinks, and be merry. Sounds like Christmas already. But Lamaisa, people are all excited, they're all drinking. If a person is not careful, and if you don't see after the Shemaya, you can mamish bully the mikshel. You can have people say nivul pei, you can have people that do things, you can have people that are mazik, you have people that are drunk on the floors, and who knows what, they can make everything go wrong. So therefore we do is we have Tainis Esther the day before Purim, we fast in order that Purim, the simcha should be kedas gedin, and we shouldn't be mikshel. That's what means Yom Kippurim. Just like on Yom Kippur, the day before, you're doing the exact opposite, but the purpose is for Yom Kippur, and it's the 2 days Yom Kippur, the same thing Purim. For the festivities of Purim are preceded by a tainis, which sounds like the exact opposite, but fakert. The purpose of the tainis is to do tshuva and be mispiled that everything goes kadasu chadin. So that's the idea of Tainis Esther according to the Chadot, the way explains the Arizal. Now I have the inyan of Machsa Shekel. Machsa Shekel, I told the guys, some of the guys here heard some of these things from me last week. I didn't know I was supposed to say this here right now, but if you hear it, so it bears repetition. Machsa Shekel, it's very interesting to watch how many people don't know what they're doing. Sometimes you have a lot of people know what they're doing, sometimes they don't. Master Shekel is like 9 out of 10 people know what you're doing. You see that a bunch of people go to the Bima, right? You have some paper plates over there, pick up the coins, you pick it up, you put it down, pick it up again. Look, you look around, everybody's looking at me because I don't know what I'm doing. And you look at them, maybe he'll do it. See, the guys stay on the side and they watch who's going to do it. Problem is, the guy in front he's doing also doesn't know what he's doing. So it's very interesting how it's like the blind leading the blind. Nobody knows what they're doing. The basic idea is that there's supposed to be, there's a minig, which is nafka in this past week's parashat Truma, that you give 3 machzor shekel. We want to do this lezecher the machzor shekel. If somebody says he picks up this is machzor shekel, he's in trouble. Because now he's got to give it to the base of Mikdash. We don't have it. You can't use it. He's supposed to say lezecher machzor shekel. If you're very careful. Right? Just like by Pesach night, a month from now, you're going to say, by Matz Pesach Matz Amor, the person says Pesach, right? He's got a problem. He was Magdash Akkor and Pesach. And then you have problems, right? So you have to be careful. Lezecher the machzor shekel. Now what's done is the Gamba puts down 3 half dollars. Sometimes they'll take from America because of Baruch Hashem Abeya, or it could be from any country. They'll put it down on the plate. Now I go along and I want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. So what do I do? So the halacha is I'm supposed to do it. My wife's supposed to do it. My kids are supposed to do it. And even a little kid is supposed to do it, which is interesting because the regular Machzor Shekel, as we know from next week's parasha, is only from 20 years and above. But the Maisa, we do this minig, even little kids. There's reasons for it, but I'm not going into it. But I'm going right now. I tell my wife before, and I'm going to be your shliach. So I go there. I don't have to bring, if you're Svardim, Muslims and Svardim are also, Svardim put down the amount of money what the shekel is worth. It might be 10 shekel, might be more. We, Ashkentozim, we got dirt cheap. You can put down anytime, anything which is Shoah Pruta. You can take 1 shekel. Shoah Pruta today is about 70 agarot. You can take 1 shekel and pick up all 3 coins, okay? The Gaba hopefully knows what he's doing. Probably he doesn't. I don't know who the Gaba is over here. But I know in my shul and bunch of shuls, I gave once explained to the Gaba what he's supposed to do. He told him to do it for 20 years. I said, you know what you're doing for 20 years. I mean, it was obvious what he's doing. The Gaba is supposed to put it there on the plate and have in mind that whoever comes, I give him a right to pick it up, coin it, as long as he gives it back to me. Okay? The Gaba is supposed to know. If he doesn't know that, the whole thing's a litzonis because everybody's picking up something which is not theirs, putting it down and wasting their time. So, but the Gaba puts it down properly, he has in mind that this is for Machzor Shekel, and every person in shul, whoever comes, is allowed to be koina to make kind of mitzvah. I come along and I want to be cheap. I'm half Hungarian. So I take along, I have some money, I take even 1 shekel. I put down the 1 shekel, I pick up all 3, now it's mine. Now that it's mine, I want to make kind of meaning of Zech Machzor Shekel, I put it down. I'm done. Now I want to do it for my wife. My wife made me a shliach. It's funny that a lot of people are doing it with the wives, but if the wife didn't make you a shliach, you're wasting your time. You can't be a shliach if someone didn't send you. So you have to tell your wife before him. So now I'm picking up for my wife if she told me. Huh? Zochen shall be fun. Okay, that's true. It's true. It's true. Can't argue that. Had an interesting shaila in my days in Neshatur once upon a time. If you're allowed to sell your father's chometz, and he doesn't know about it. So there's a problem because on the one hand, I'm doing something which is chus. On the other hand, I'm taking away something that's not your place. It's just chus government. But here you're right. There's takazak and shaila be fun. You're right. Technically, be the evid, it'll be good. About it's not chachil, it's better that I'm doing it, that he should do it fine. But you're right, technically, be the evid, should be okay. Now I'm going for my wife, okay? So I put down again another shekel, pick up all 3 for my wife, I'm coining for my wife, and then I put it down. McCain Hall, I can do for my kids also, and that's how it's done. But again, the person who puts it there has to know about it, the person who is picking it up has to know about it, and preferable that the woman or your kids make you a shliach. That is the idea of Machzor Shekel. Hopefully, maybe the Gaba of the Yeshiva knows it already. Maybe he's here. I don't know. At least you know how it works. Now let's go to Zer Gaboim. Very good. We'll assume they know what they're talking about and what they're doing. Okay? Now, let's go now to the idea of Mishleich Monas and Matan Savyoin. Mishleich Monas is a takana that we want to be marba simcha and yedidus. So, al pi alocha, you're supposed to give at least 1 Mishleich Monas. It has to have 2 different items. The 2 different items do not have to be a separate brocha. If you're Sfardi, the Ben Yishchai says it'll be 2 separate brochas. That's his hider. Mishnah Berurah doesn't mention it. 2 items, all have to be worth is a Shoah Pruta. What's the reason for the Mishleich Monas? The Chassam Sefer brings down Kuf Tzadik Vov. 2 reasons. One's from the Truma Sadeshin, and one is from Anoy Salevi, that's from Shlomo Kabetz, the one who made L'chodoidi. The Truma Sadeshin, I might mix them up because I don't remember, I haven't seen it for a while. I think the Truma Sadeshin's reason is because you want to be able to, in case a person needs for a Suda, he has no food, so I'm giving you something for a Suda's Purim. And that's Marbi Yedidas. According to the Menoy Salevi, the idea is that you want, not for the Suda, but in general, to imar b'chib and habit, to show I give a present. Either one, and both of them, you can mekayim when you give the Mishleich Monas. And there are certain nafkaminas. There's a nafkamina, let's say you want to give the Mishleich Monas today, and he's going to get it on Purim. Or I'm going to give it on Purim, but he's only going to get it the next day, like I'm sending by mail. So it's a big nafkamina, because if it's to be mekayim the Suda's Purim, So then, if you don't get it there on the right day, you didn't do anything. But if it's going to be Marbereis, the idea that Takana being Marbereis was made for the day of Purim, I don't care if you didn't get it till next day. So there are interesting nafkaminas. If somebody is an oval, like me, unfortunately, so you're not allowed to give to an oval Meshlech Manas. The way people get around it is a very simple way. They give it for the family, and they say, they don't say it's for the oval, they say it's for the family. That's the easy way around it. And the oval has to give Meshlech Manas like everybody else. Some say it's only give one. I saw today interesting tshuva from the Divrei Malkiel. He was from Lomza about 100 years ago. He claims that by a Rebbe or a Rav or a Paisik or someone who works for you, who does something for community or Shashiva, he says there, even if that person is loyal in an oval, you can give him because of the fact it's like a choiv and this is the time to give it to him. And he doesn't look at it as part of simcha because it's not a simcha. You give it to a friend, it's simcha. Here's just like a moral obligation. So he's actually matter to give to a Rebbe or a Paisik or a Rav or something like that, even if a person is an oval. A woman also has to give Meshlech Manas. Kids have to give Meshlech Manas. Al Tchinuch. Because there's a chmitzah of chinuch even by Drabonim. Now, how do we do that? So, the Mishnah Berurah, a lot of people are misled. The Mishnah Berurah says, I'm not sure if you yoitz if it's not alidei shliach. He's not sure. Lemana Emes, the one that he's quoting is the Sefer Binyan Tzion. That's the tshuvas of the Aruch HaNer, Choshev Sefer. And he doesn't say that you can't do it by yourself, that you have to do shliach. He's mesupik. Maybe it's Meshlech Manas. It's a maybe. The truth of the matter is there's other places that say the exact opposite. You look in the Eshel of Rome, in Tafresh Tzadikei, in the back of Or HaChaim, he says, Fakert, Mishleich Monas is a kula that I can do it even I day Shliach. But Avad, it's better I do it myself. Mitzaboy, Yoysim, maybe Shluchai. So if you're already sending several Shach Monas, you might as well do one of them with a Shliach and one of them without. Now, usually people give several Mishleich Monas, so you can do all different Yidurim. But technically, all you have to give is one Meshlech Manas, and it has to be worth a Shavu Pruta, and it doesn't have to be two brachas, and you're done. You want to give a lot of people. Some people want to give the Rebbe, they want to give the principal, want to give this. It's a time. But a lot of people, when they have kids, like in Cheder, they want to give the Rebbe also. So the Rebbe should act nicely to them, shouldn't kick out their son every second week, and be nice. And I've heard from people that are Rabbonim in Cheder, they told me that even though we should not have any prejudice for a person that gives Meshlech Manas or gives a tip or something like that, but we do, because the Maisa, if somebody gives you something, like the Torah says you shouldn't give Shaychad, because the Mashpia, even any Chonim, even a big Chochem, Shaychad always works. And here the Torah is telling you, you should give the guy a present, and if you give the guy Meshlech Manas, it'll be a good investment for your kids also. So it's a good idea to do that. Can you send Meshlech Manas with a person that usually can't be a Shliach? I.e., can I send, let's say I want to do like the Mishnah Berurah, I want to do the Shliach. Can I send my wife? A woman can't be a Shliach. Can I send my kid who's less than Bar Mitzvah? I don't have one of those, but I have Enikel from that age. Can I send a kid that's less than Bar Mitzvah? Can I send a monkey to be a Shliach Meshlech Manas? That would be very Mesamech and Purim if you send Meshlech Manas a monkey. That would be pretty cool. And the question is, can I do that? So as weird as the Shaila sounds, this Shaila was asked by Rabbi Kiva Eger to a son-in-law of Chassam Sofer. We have the tshuva. We have the tshuva printed what he asked of Chassam Sofer. I'm not sure, according to the date, I don't know if I saw the date, I don't remember if it already was his son-in-law, or it's before it became a son-in-law, because what happened was the Bekiva Eger's daughter became Almona, and the Chassam Sofer's wife was Nifter, and eventually the Chassam Sofer married Bekiva Eger's daughter, but I don't know if at the time he was his son-in-law, or maybe it was before that, I'm not sure. But Bekiva Eger asked the question, which means Bekiva Eger was not sure. And the Chassam Sofer gave a very classical answer. The Chassam Sofer says, yes, he can. Why? So he says an interesting story, which is brought down by several of the Paiskim today, that when the Torah says, I got to do something, so if I want to do it with a shliach, there's dinim of shliach. It's got to be a male, not a woman. It's got to be a bar mitzvah, not less than 13. And it's got to be a human being and not a gorilla or a monkey, right? That's when the Torah said, I should do myself. But when the Torah says originally, u'mishloach monos, that means the Torah said I can send it with somebody, then there's no klolim of shlichas. And he actually brings down this klal halacha lemaisa in the Chassam Sofer al Hashas, I think it's Gittin Afchav Beis, you can see it. He says point blank this chiddush, that if the Torah says to give the shliach, it doesn't matter who the shliach is. But if the Torah tells you do it yourself something, then you got to have the klal shlichas. But it's not so simple, because you see that Rikiv Eger was mesupik about it. But it's an interesting idea. Matonas Avyanim. Matonas Avyanim, you're supposed to give at least two Matonas Avyanim. Lechat Chilo, you're supposed to give to two people, each one has got to be Shavu Pruta. It's not too impressive, you give an oni 70 agarot, but technically you're yoitza. Now, it's very easy to find in Yerushalayim aniyim. You don't have to look too hard. Look in the phone book, whatever. If you don't know who's an oni, who's not, and sometimes you meet these guys that are snoring by the kaiser of Echnosis Kala, and then they drive off with a Mercedes Benz, then you start thinking, like, who's giving who over here? But there are a lot of people that are really not aniyim. If you're not sure, You call up a gabbit tztokah, they know exactly. Today you can sit in your house and do matanas lavyanim. You pick up the phone either to Kupati Ir or Vadra Baron, these are reliable places. Let's go for the Gedolim. You can tell them beforehand, I want you to give one Mishlech Monas here in Yerushalayim, and one matanas lavyanim, I meant to say, to Reuven and to Shimon, and I'm already done. Or you can have, some people like to be from, they want to give Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak. Believe it or not, I don't know if you people realize that there is a day that says that we in Yerushalayim should be holding 14, the 14th day of Adar, not the 15th. And it's not such a person that's not so popular. Rav Tukachinsky, the one who made the luach that the whole Yerushalayim goes by, for Netzachama, for Shki and everything, Rav Tukachinsky, he writes in a sefer, in Minhag Eretz Yisrael, that the whole Yerushalayim has a din of not Mukav Chayma, unless you're in the old city. And nobody is nagging like that shita. Nobody but nobody. Certain places, the Shilas, Ramot, Chevron, Tzvas, we said before, but no one goes by that shita. Everybody holds Yerushalayim Tezavov. But the funny thing is, he still has, his base medrash is still standing. And if you want to know where it is, they have the big bridge they built a few years ago, next to the Tachlan Merkezit. Right under it, there's this old shchuna called Eitz Chaim. They were begging the people there to sell their deers. They wanted to wreck the building, and they offered big amounts of money. And some people said, no, we want $1 million. So they said no. And they left that shack that wrecked the building. It's still there under the bridge. You can still see it. And these people still live there, and there's a shul over there, Eitz Chaim. When people are stuck from Bnei Brak in Yerushalayim, somebody holds Bnei Brak, he holds 14 is Yerushalayim. Where do you go? You go to Eitz Chaim, because in Eitz Chaim they hold Purim on the 14th. And of course you have loads of Yerushalayim or Litzonim that come there just to stand there and laugh that there's some people that are holding Purim on 14 when Yerushalayim no one holds a 14. It's like a place everybody comes to laugh on the 4th Leil of 14, and in the morning people just come to laugh and enjoy themselves. But in case you ever get stuck there, you should know that that's the place of Yerushalayim, and you have to hold 14. What? Yeah, why not? Get drunk another day. Some people Makayim Purim 2 days. I once asked Rav Yashiv when I was in Eshet Torah, you had some guys that went to a Rebbe in Beitar and they were holding Sudas Purim on the 14th and then they came back the 15th. And it's not just the guys in Eshet Torah. My kids, when they're in Ponovish, they still do that. They would first be Meshug over there and get drunk, whatever, on the 14th and then come the next day, Yerushalayim, and do it all over again. And I timed it as Mamash Bittel Torah. So what right does a person have to do that? Yeah, oh, it's a big mitzvah. They're one of the Rebbein, they told me that's a big mitzvah, Mesameh. Mitzvah for who? It's not my day of Purim. Why is it a mitzvah? I'm supposed to keep it 2 days? I asked Rabbi Yashiv. So I saw Rabbi Yashiv made his hand like it's not going to work anyway. No one's going to listen. But he said, of course, it's Bittel Torah Mamish. Well, the yeshiva guy's going 2 days Purim. Yes, it's all 2 days Purim. It's either. But that is, unfortunately, a lot of people have this meaning. And what can you do? Okay, so we did Mishlech Monos. We did Matanos Avyonim. Now, of course, we get to the lovely issue of getting drunk.
How much should we give today?
What?
How much should we give today realistically?
Matanos Avyonim, if you want to give technically B'yotze, by giving two people a maton of 70 agorot, your yotze. Now, obviously people can't do too much with 70 agorot. They say in Yerushalayim also, if you give in general during the year, if you give a guy half a shekel, say all you get back is a kolola from the beggar. You're not going to be having a curse. But technically, half a shekel, you're not there. But 70 agorot today is a show of pruta. Now, obviously you want to give something more impressive, depending who the oni is. If it's a chosher person, you give him more. And if it's something, some place can say that you should give an amount that he can buy a suda with that money. I saw today an interesting shita. I saw in the Piskei Tshuvos, there's a day that says that if you give a person Mishlech Monos, then if that person does not have money, he's a poor person, and he doesn't have money to buy a suda, so the Maisa comes out that what you gave is Matanos Lavyayin. So you thought you gave Mishlech Monos and you gave Matanos Lavyayin. And if you only gave one Mishlech Monos, and that land up being Matanos Avyonim, you blew it. So you should think about that next time you give a poor person, that if he has no money for the meal, you might have given Matanos Avyonim, not Mishlech Monos, and you have to keep your calculations straight.
So where Let's does get the come from to give like, the meal?
There is a day that you should give him a meal because he'll appreciate it. But that's not a Mishnah Berurah Paskins. Mishnah Berurah does not Paskin like that. He says clearly that you can show a pruta. It's nicer.
How much money is that? Realistic
for a meal? A few years ago, Rabbi Yashar said it's about 20 shekel. There's such a day. And if somebody wants to do it, Mishnah Berurah says also, the more matanos avyonim you give, and the more you give in each one, you get more schar. But you're not mechuyev to. Okay. Now, especially bochum de yeshiva, if it's not your money, it's very nice to be generous somebody else's money. You better first ask for shush from your father. Is he masking or is he not masking?
From your own money?
Huh?
Is there any idea from your own money?
Well, officially, when your father or mother give you money, it becomes yours. You can do it. What?
What about Meiser?
Nope, you cannot use the Mishnah Berurah Zemesh and the Shloka Kodesh. You can only use Meiser after you've done the minimum, which means after you gave Mishloach Monos the minimum of one person and Matanos of two people. Now, if you add on, that you can take from Meiser. Okay?
What if you give a Chaim Mishnah and you're not more?
You're not allowed to give more. You're allowed to give more.
You're allowed to give more.
Yes. You're right. There's a Gemara in Kesubah that you shouldn't give more than the fifth. But it's brought down in the Shulchan Harav. That's only Beyom Mehen because you're able to mechap yourself with Karbonis. Today we have no Karbonis. You have no Beis Migdash. So I can do it for Kapar and give much more. It might not be smart to do that. It's another thing, but you can. You're not limited.
You're supposed to give not from you.
What's that supposed to do? The whole idea of giving chaimish is a hider. You don't have to give a chaimish. There's a Gemara that says you're supposed to give mice or a tenth, right? A fifth, it's a nice thing. It's a hider. You don't have to give that. You can give more too. Some people give more than that. But you don't have to. Technically, yes. A lot of people don't want to do like that. People want to do better and give, be mahadr in the midst and give something more, which a person appreciate. It's very nakishmak when you give an oni, you give him something and he gives you a dirty look. Right? If he gives you a dirty look, then what do you accomplish? Or if there's a choshrit comes and you give him, like, you know, 80 agorot. Because the Rebbe told you in the yeshiva that it's already so pruta. He'll be thrilled, you know. He got a dirty look and he might curse you also. It's not kedai. I'm just telling you, technically, you're yoitz with so pruta. Now let's get to the lovely subject of eat, drink, and be merry, of getting shikr on Purim. Now, I'm not going to take sides over here. I'm just going to tell you the different days that are brought down. And I have no idea what's done in this yeshiva. I can guess, because I know from other yeshivas. But I know that the Rosh Yeshiva here is in control, whether it's what guy's doing, what kind of telephones they have. The Rosh Yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, knows how to be mashpi on people. So I have no idea what the sheet is over here. I'm going to tell you the different sheets that's brought down the Paiskim. The Gemara says in Megillah Zayin, Mechayv in Shufsumi Adle Yoda. You're supposed to drink until you don't know. Bein, Or, Homan, Leboruch, Mordechai. But the Gemara says right afterwards, Rova Shachtel Rebzeira. He was drunk and he shechted him. Okay, so that's a very exciting story, and as we know, all stories end off happily afterwards. So the end of the story is that he made Chiyas HaMeisim. Now obviously, if somebody today does something like that, we don't have someone to make Chiyas HaMeisim. We have an Arkoy, we have a guy for Atzola, but I don't know if he's going to do Chiyas HaMeisim. Okay, so we're not going to go that far, but Rabbeinu Ephraim is one of the Rishonim. He brings a raya from that. Why is the Gemara telling you what happened over here? The Gemara is to tell you we don't paskin that he's supposed to get shikr to that degree, because if he does that, he can almost kill somebody. But the Shulchan Aruch does bring down you should get drunk. But I'm just saying, there is a day in the Rishayim that says we don't paskin like the idea of getting shikr. So now, in the Shulchan Aruch it says you're supposed to get shikr till you adle yoda. The simple understanding of the Shulchan Aruch, and if you're a Sephardi, you go like the Shulchan Aruch, when there's Becholik's Mechavroa, the simple understanding is yes, you're supposed to get mamash drunk. The Ramon, the other hand, says no, that it doesn't mean that. It means to say you should drink yosem ilimudai. Now, yosem ilimudai means to say is how much you used to drink. You usually drink, let's say, one cup of wine, drink a little bit more. Mitoich kach, you're going to fall asleep because it's over your head. And then, when you fall asleep, that's adle yoda, you have no idea what's going on. That's the Ramon's pshat. And we, as Ashkenazim, should be going like the Ramon. Now, of course, you have some guys that are not too humble, and they say, that's not Pshat Rambam. When the Rambam says you're supposed to drink Yosef Limudei, that's more than how much I learn. I'm a big master. I learn all day and all night. So I'm going to drink all day and all night, more than I learn. And, of course, these guys, if you're going to want to explain the din afterwards, you don't have who to talk to. They're out, right? And who knows what they're doing themselves. But Akaponim, the Rambam Bepashtis, and we usually go like the Rambam, is to drink more than usual and push it, go to sleep. That's the Rambam. The Mishnah Berurah is going with the Ramah. He also brings down, even if you want to go like the Mechaber, and by the way, the Rizal is also Mashmah, they should mamash get drunk. But if you want to go like the Mechaber, the Rizal, he says only b'tznai that you're not mezalzling yourself. Now, the guy that's on the ground throwing up like a cow, whatever, and I never did see a cow throwing up, but I never saw a cow getting drunk either, so I don't know what he would do. But the Maisa, if that is not being Mechubed, and that's not what the Mishnah wants. Shemazam was very stark in there. Shemazam says this idea of being happy, but to go like to the Rebbe's house and throw up on his couch. I saw this happen by Noach Weinberg's house from Meshach Torah. The people came and they threw up on his couch. Hashem Yirachem, it's a great covered for your Rebbe. It says if you're mazik somebody on Purim, something small, we're moichel. But it depends what exactly is small, what's big. And in my house, somebody came last year and he was nice and he had to throw up. So he went to the marpes at the porch. He threw up and go. Two floors down to Marpesa downstairs. And of course, I didn't go near that Marpesa for the next few hours, nor should think it came from me. And I hope the guy doesn't know whose Marpesa it came from. But Lemaisen, I don't know how Mechubed that was either. Was I supposed to go downstairs and clean it up? I mean, Chazal said, Tovi imi v'tekanech, let his mother come and clean up after him. What does he want from me? I didn't tell him to throw up over there. But I may believe anything about it. The idea is you're supposed to do the Mechubed the way. Some people, when they get drunk, they're very sweet, they're very geschmack. Some people lose it. If you don't know where you're holding, it might not be a smart thing to do. There's interesting marsha in B'metzia Daf Chav Gimel Beis. The Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham is allowed to lie in three different things: Mespech Sechta, Mepuria Uvishpiza. But Purim is a Rashi, is a Taisis, there's a Mashal over there in Chedush Agoda, and the Mashal says Purim means I'm Purim. You can make yourself like you're drunk when you're really not, and there's nothing wrong with that. So that might be a nice approach to make like you're drunk, act a little bit crazy, right? Smile, do dress up, whatever, but don't become completely drunk. In any event, we have a Mishnah Brura, and the Mishnah Brura says clearly, he goes like the Ramot. If you bring Mizalz, he says you shouldn't do it. Mishnah Brura also brings down that if you're going to miss Mincha or Meiriv or Birch Samozin, then you're not allowed to do it. There's no heter to miss these things. How many people can say when they get drunk they're not going to miss benching or not going to miss davening? I know somebody, my friend of mine, when I was a bocher in Lakewood, so he had a hangover and he woke up the next day. He says, when do we go to see this poem? I said, no, you missed it. He's completely out. He wasn't mekayem anything. Fine. Didn't do any harm either, so it wasn't so bad. The Mishnah Brura also says that there's a nice pshat in the Yad Ephraim, but he doesn't tell you what it is. So if you're not lazy, you'll put a Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Tzadikei, and the Yad Ephraim says it was bothering him. How can it be Chazal Meir Takona could get drunk to a point where the Imam should be a bezoin and people know what they're doing? How can that be? And he said, in the middle of the dream, he had a Chezioin Laila, which means, in other words, I had a dream, but obviously the Yad Ephraim is saying it's not Martin Luther King, and this Yesh Lahavdil Hevdil Godel B'Neim. So he says, I had a dream, and they told me Pshat. When it says Ad LeYoda, it's Ad V'Loy Ad B'Chlal. That means till that point, because if you get to the point, you know it's flying, then what kind of simcha is that? It's Latzonis. So he had that pshat, the Mishnah Brura likes that pshat. Just no one knows about it, because no one goes bothering to look up the Yad Ephraim. Ad v'lo yad b'chval. So there are different shitas, but look, we have a Ramo, we have Mishnah Brura. If you're going to lose it and miss davening, or act like an idiot, throw up all over the place, that's not what the Ramo of the Mishnah Brura says. And again, what the Yeshiva's policy on this is, I don't know. I can't tell you. I'll just end off with an interesting word I just saw today from the Chassam Sofer. I say I went overtime over here. The Chassam Sofer talks about this idea of Ad LeYoda. He says, we know this halacha, it's a Gemara, it's brought down halacha, in Tafresh Tzadikei, that if you have the Suda of Purim the night before Purim, you're not Yoitza. Why not? Shabbos always starts the night before. Yom Kippur the night before. Shavuos, everything starts the night before by Jews. By Jews, everything starts the night before. The only exception we have is, who knows? Karbonos. Kachem is a special lima that Kachem, the night goes after the day. It's like now is like the hemshuch of the day of Monday. But everything else by Jewry, by Judaism, by Yiddishkeit, everything goes the night before. So why can't I make this before? So he has Rayas, the Chassam Sofer, that the Takon of Chazal, we wanted to be able to Mekayim, on the one hand, Boruch Mordechai, on the other hand, Or Homan. Now, as far as we're concerned, Boruch Mordechai, like we said, everything by us starts the night before. Which means to say, if by us Purim is on Wednesday, that means to say from Tuesday night, that's already for us Jews, Boruch Mordechai, it's already Purim. But as far as the Or Homan, for Homan, all the Goyim, and Achashverosh, and all these other lovely Goyim, so it starts in the day and ends up the following night, Wednesday night. So Chazal were Mesakin that the Sudas Purim should be on the day, because on the day Wednesday, it's already the middle of Purim for us, because we started the previous night. It's also the beginning of the Or Homan, because for Homan it is Purim, it is Yudal and Be'eth Tesvov. So therefore, the Suda is in the day, and not in the previous night, and not on the following night. However, he says, once you already started the Suda, and you want to continue with a little bit, let's not forget, for Homan, the Or Homan keeps on going until Wednesday night. So we have to start in the daytime, but we can continue doing it a little bit more Or Homan after Shkia and the night of Suda, and keep on doing that, because that's Or Homan. Let him have it, let him have a few punches in the face, and a little bit more Or Homan. And he says, but people don't realize this chiluk, and that's Takti Pshat. You have to get to a level when you drink Ad LeYoda Bein Boruch Mordechai L'Or Homan, because people don't have the difference. That the middle of Purim during the daytime is for both, whereas the beginning of Purim, the previous night, is only for us, for Boruch Mordechai, and the end, the night, that's only for Or Homan. And therefore, but you guys should know that, because you're not drunk right now, so you should know that. So that's Bekitzer, what you should know about Purim. We should all have a Freilich in Purim, and a Gan Shofreilich.